Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I am so excited, Jim, being on the show today. I was over doing some work on Facebook last night and connected with a little gal that had been my best friend all through high school. And I haven't seen her in 22 years. She'd moved away, and she's a successful nurse out in Phoenix and interested in network marketing now. And I get excited, man. You just never know where these connections are going to lead and how you might be able to grow your business.
Dude, that we live in an absolutely amazing time. There's no doubt about it. There's so much wonderful things going on in the world today. Not even funny. I mean, I got a message from a gentleman yesterday who was listening to our show for the first time on the internet. And you know, the message says, you know, if I'd have known that there was something like this around, you know, to help a person getting started in this industry, I'd have gotten started in this industry a long time ago, blah, blah, blah. You know, I had to send him a message back and say, well, you couldn't have found it at a better time because we just started doing this not too long ago. So,
well, you know
it really does ring to the message that if you're paying it forward, you're on the right trail, you know?
Well, that's it right there, and it kind of segues right into the law of the process, because leaders develop daily, not in a day. So, you know, that's kind of where we've gone with our format. We've really started to see an increase in listenership and the feedback. You know, it's fun to know that we've got listeners, but it's even better when the feedback comes back and you can tell they've grabbed the nugget and it's changed their lives. That's the cool part.
Well, you're absolutely right, Troy, because I believe that this chapter, The Law of the Process, is truly what this show is all about. It's what the industry is all about, Troy.
Mm-hmm. You nailed
it
right there.
I look around and I think, you know, we are all born, our destiny as human beings, from the time that we crawl out of the womb, our destiny is to be leaders, mentors, trainers, and to grow into that position, because ultimately we all are designed to become parents at some point in our lives. And if you're not a mentor, trainer, leader, coach, teacher, as a parent, I don't know what else you could possibly be. There's so many neat things that we get to experience through parenting and grandparenting and watching people grow that prepare us for that same role in business that it never ceases to amaze me. But enough on that. Let's talk about the law of the process and how leadership develops daily, not in a day. You know, the neatest thing about the industry in that respect is people that truly become successful in this industry, they get it. You know, they realize that in order to go up, they're going to have to A, grow up, and B, become more, so that they can attract more into their lives. You know, there's a quote in the first part of the chapter here that I think is noteworthy of reading. And it says, becoming a leader is a lot like investing successfully in the stock market. If your hope is to make a fortune, wait a minute, if your hope is to make a fortune in a day, you're not going to be successful. Now, there's an old analogy about our industry that the more I've thought about over the years, the more I think it's really a profound statement. It's a very simple statement, but yet also very profound. And that's the fact that becoming successful in the network marketing industry is much like becoming a successful marathon runner as opposed to a sprinter.
That's a good point.
First time I heard that, I didn't really know what it meant. But looking back on it now in retrospect,
it's really clear. It's obvious to me what it was supposed to mean back in the days when I was first exposed to it, because it's oh so true that it's not even funny. Let's look at some things that we can do that are going to help us in terms of the process. You know, events engage us in decisions and discussions, and the process around that engages us in development, because any time that you have an event that you have to plan and coordinate for, it brings on a need to understand the power of process and organization and planning, you know, reviewing your progress, all of these things that are necessary in order to do that. You know, the concept of an event that motivates people, something like the Catalyst Convention, you know, that is a process that not only motivates people as an event, but it's also a process that causes people to mature from the standpoint that it opens their eyes and opens their minds to possibilities. This is one of the reasons, folks, why it's so important, and I do mean oh so important, to plug in to your meetings. Because if you're having a great week, trust me, the meeting needs you. If you're having a bad week, then you need the meeting. Because being around those like-minded, energetic, outgoing, successful people that are striving for the same types of things that you want to achieve yourself is a symbiotic relationship whereby you feed off of each other's energy and you grow and inspire each other. You know, there's other things that we can look at that can help us to grow in this process of developing as leaders. You know, the calendar can be an issue from time to time. The culture can be an issue from time to time. How do we get past these two things, the calendar, the culture? Well, the calendar is an easy one to get by in my mind. It revolves around making a plan that is carved in rubber. Because if I haven't learned anything in my brief 50 years on this planet, the one thing I have learned is that maintaining a rigid state of flexibility is a critical element to anyone's success. Things happen. You know, children become impetuous and they make decisions to run off and get married and don't give you any warning or any notice that that's going to happen. And they just can't wait because they're so excited and they want to start their life together. And all of a sudden, the plans that you had made have changed. But you have to roll with it. You have to adapt to it and move on. Now, that can be a double-edged sword. Some people can be so rigid that they absolutely want to, you know, go into a self-destruct mode because things aren't going according to their plan. Well, folks, I hate to tell you, but life rarely goes according to plan. One of the best analogies I've ever heard on this subject is the fact that life is what happens while we're making other plans. And if we lose sight of that issue, then we truly lose sight of the fact that life is a journey. Success is a journey. It's not a destination. Failure is a learning event that we can grow from if we choose to. Failure is not the end of the world if we choose to learn from it and grow. This is all part of the process. This is why this law of the process is so important. The myth of failure is a very simple myth to understand. And I'll relate this back to our days of being in high school, because hopefully everybody that's listening to this call has graduated from high school already. I know there might be a few people that are listening in from time to time that haven't graduated from high school yet, and you know, if you are in that category, God bless you, because you're taking a look at the most powerful business opportunity on the face of the planet before you're ever really into the workforce. And my hat's off to you. God bless your parents for plugging you into something like this and exposing you to it, because more than likely that's what's happening. But let's take a look at a high school midterm or a college midterm. You get an F on that midterm. Have you failed? No. That F merely marks the fact that for that specific day and time of that exam, you were unprepared. You failed to adequately study for the material that you were being evaluated on that day. Does it mean that you're destined to be a failure in life? Absolutely not. What it means is that you have to commit more to the process of studying the material and preparing for the next examination. Because in life, the ultimate final exam, folks, is where we finish at the end of it. And contrary to what some people may believe, he who finishes with the most toys and the most money in their bank account is not the greatest winner. Wealth can be measured more by the size of a person's heart and the size and quantity of their relationships than the depth of their pockets. And this is an important one for people to remember. I believe it's one of the reasons why people who are struggling for years and years in this industry stay involved and plugged into this industry, and that's because of the other word that I mentioned just a little while ago, which is called the culture. If you create a culture of caring, leadership, servant leadership to be specific, you will attract people into your lives that will change the face of your life forever, because these will be people who will, they will be more than acquaintances. They will become true friends. And no one, and I do mean no one, can ever have too many friends. And for before we go any further, allow me to use Jim Gilhouse's personal definition of a friend and expose you to this for 1 second, if I may. I believe that a friend is a person who helps you grow personally, grow in every aspect of your life, and is committed to helping you to make your dreams come true. That's a true friend. Anyone else, this is my opinion and nothing more, this isn't written anywhere, but I believe this with every fiber of my being. Anyone else is nothing more than an acquaintance. Because if they're not dedicated to helping you grow as a person and helping you to make your dreams come true, then they're not a true friend. With that being said, in order to have more friends, we must all first strive to be a better friend to others. And that, my friends, is the key in my mind to growing a large group of people, because you're first the friend to them in order for them to want to be a friend to you. Troy, any feedback on that, man?
No, I'm in full agreement with that. And it actually, as you were talking about that, it brought up the memories of a very prominent businessman back at the turn of the 1900s, you know, the 20th century, back in the 1900s, by the name of Hershey. And when Mr. Hershey started growing and the business started growing, instead of having his workers come from all over the state and come to work for days on end and then go back to their family, he actually started building towns right around the factory so that his people could be there. And they built churches and schools. And when you study his life, because he's one of those bizarre businessmen, you know, he didn't create the iron unions, I mean, the iron industry or the cars or any of that. He just didn't candy. But there were so many people upon his death that he never met, but that he had become his friends, because he would walk through the towns, he would give away stuff, he would love on the kids, they would have big company parties, and you just never know when one little ounce of gratitude will cause you to end up with a new friend, Jimmy, that you didn't even know you had, and you and I both know you can never, ever have too many friends.
Absolutely. You know, Troy, it brings me to a conversation that you and I had on our other radio show, Aces Radio Live, a while back with a mutual friend, Mr. Tom Chenault. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the three-foot rule as it relates to our industry of network marketing and how too many people over the years have misinterpreted and falsely taught the three-foot rule as the concept that anyone that you come within 3 feet of is a viable prospect for your business. And if people would change that paradigm to think that anyone you come within 3 feet of is a prospect to become a new friend, it would be amazing how many more people would have more people in their business. Because all things being equal, people like to do business with people that they know, like, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And all things being not so equal, people still like to do business with people that they know, like, and trust and consider to be their friends. You know, that little quote that I just gave you right there comes out of a world-renowned author, Jeffrey Gitmer's Little Black Book of Connections, 6.5 Assets for Networking Your Way to Rich Relationships. And folks, if you don't know who Jeffrey Gitmer is, he's got a number of little books that he's put together on the little gold book of yes attitude, the little teal book of trust, the little red book of sales answers, and the one that I just mentioned, which is my favorite, quite honestly, the little black book of connections, because we've all heard it said, but I can't emphasize how important it really is. It's not what you know that matters, but who you know that can help you the most in life to become as successful as you possibly can.
You know, let me jump on that for a second, Jimmy, because sometimes people, I think, listen to us talk and they think, oh, you guys, you know, you read all this stuff and it sounds good, but does it really work? And there's a mentor of mine in marketing by the name of Frank Kearns. And a lot of people don't know Frank because he's the behind-the-scenes guy in internet marketing. But he's done something that nobody, I mean nobody else in history has done. He's been able to go out and create an online marketing campaign, and the company that he did that for made $18 million in 24 hours off of one sale of one product on the internet. And one of Frank's biggest things is the fact that people want to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. He's a firm believer in that. He has proven that, and every piece of copywriting that he creates, every video, every marketing campaign, you name it, everything that he does is based on, I've got to do this so that people will start to know, like, and trust my client. And it works, folks. I'm telling you what Jimmy just said right there. You cannot manipulate it. You cannot go out there and use this to trash people, because it will fail. But if you truly want to create a network of friends, then you take those three words, know, like, and trust, and you change your life so that everything you do revolves around that, and I guarantee you, you'll start to see success in your organization.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Let's move back to the difference between an event and a process. An event challenges people, because you're in an environment where you're subject to the synergistic effect of the mood of the room. Especially if it's a gathering. If it's a singular event, it can be something that causes you to overcome fear. It can be any number of things. But the difference between an event and a process is where an event may challenge a person, the process changes people. That's why this law of the process whereby leaders develop daily, not in a day, is oh so powerful, because it's through the process that we all change and grow and become better people. With that being said, in most cases, an event is typically, you know, it can be viewed as easy because it's something that you do and participate in oftentimes only once, or only once a week, or once a month, or once a year. Thereby, the event is something that it comes and it goes. But the process is more difficult. Why is it more difficult? Because leadership develops daily, not in a day. And committing to the process truly means that we're committing to doing something on a daily basis to grow as people, to help others grow as people. You really want to learn something? Teach it. You know, I believe we've got our young friend Johnny Hansis on the line with us this morning as well, and I'm gonna bring Johnny in to touch base on this, because compared to us, Troy, John's a relatively young man, wouldn't you say?
100%. He's about the same age as my oldest son.
Now you're really aging yourself, buddy. you know, but the thing that I love about John is his fresh outlook on things, but considering his background and some of the things that he's doing right now, you talk about somebody's learning curve going vertical. No matter how well you think you know something, when it comes time to teach that object, you learn it inside out, upside down, and sideways. So, Johnny, if you're there, I'm going to turn this over to you. Talk about for a minute your experiences, if you will, in becoming an instructor pilot, and how much it's changed your view of what you thought you knew in just the short time you've been doing that.
Okay, well, hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? And yeah, talk about a learning curve going through the roof. I'm going to go ahead and say that every single person has this every day in their life. You think you know everything. You think you know, you think you know what's going on with life. And, man, like how you were talking about earlier today, being flexible, the curveball that happens is just astronomical. So let me give you a brief story, brief input. Okay, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with this, Jim, because we all know your background as well, especially since you're one of the instructors that taught me. The engine quits in a helicopter. You know, you do what's called an auto rotation. What that is, it's basically just a maneuver where you still keep the rotor engaged with the air flows, and basically you do a pinwheel effect down to the ground and you land the helicopter safely. Well, there's a process to that. You know, there's about, I would say, a good 4 steps to an auto rotation. Well, I'm flying with my student, and he's done over 50 of them. So he just at the last step there, he kind of rearranged all of the parts and pieces and what you're supposed to do, because there's a meticulous process that can't get out of sequence. So he did something different, and, oh, boy, did I tell you, you have to figure out real quick how to fix some stuff so the helicopter lands safely and everybody inside is safe. And I've never had anything like that thrown at me before. But life does that to you in general. It keeps on happening. You sit there, you fix it, and you're flexible with it. You know. But the main thing is I love to preach over and over again having a great attitude. Because if you're not, you can be flexible with a bad attitude, but you're not necessarily going to see the results that you want. You might get by, but you won't succeed. I don't know if that makes any sense. To me, it does. Because if I would have had a bad attitude where the student would have caught would have thrown that curveball at me, and I didn't recover the helicopter the way I was supposed to and land it correctly, guess what would have happened? The student would have saw that I had a bad attitude about it. Chances are I would have probably looked at him and saying, hey, thanks for almost destroying us or destroying the helicopter. But instead I said, nope, that wasn't right, man. Let's go ahead and do it again. So what happens? We took off. We went around the traffic pattern. We came back in. He did a beautiful auto rotation. So the attitude in which things are perceived and what happens is what is going to make anything happen in your life correctly, especially when it comes to this awesome industry. I mean, you know, it's extremely challenging. Why is it extremely challenging? Because not very many people know how to make money differently from what we've been taught since we're coming up through our society, our school systems, college systems. So the flexible, being flexible and having a great attitude is all I have to say. That's my take on it. And you're going to succeed your whole life with this philosophy, as long as you can live it, breathe it, and also teach it to other people, like what you great gentlemen do for me every day, and also paying it forward all through the world. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Johnny, how old are you now?
I'm 29.
All right. Johnny's 29 years old. I have a 26-year-old son. Now, here, I'm going to put this in here because this is the law of the process. Johnny's been being mentored by guys just like Jim Gilhouse, both in his regular career as a helicopter training pilot, in his life career as a person, in his personal development, and he's taken the principles, the strategies, the precepts, and he's used them to propel his career, to propel his life, to focus and move forward and help other people. I have a 26-year-old son who had the same opportunity in life. The same type of training, the same mentoring, the same exact principles. But folks, here's what I want you to learn. Johnny decided to give back. He decided to be a servant leader. My son decided to use these principles and use them in a different way, use them in a way that would manipulate folks and try to shortcut the system and really go out there and get something for himself. It was all about him. Johnny's now training other people and getting paid very well for it. My son is serving a 4-year felony charge in a state prison. That's what I mean. When I tell you guys you cannot use the principles you learn to manipulate people, this is why. You can either turn out like my son and pay a price, or you can watch how Johnny's life is going and you realize I can give back to others and become a success, not just personally, but in the lives of other people. I just had to put that plug in there, Jimmy, because the more I listen to Johnny, the more it just gives me pride for what he's doing.
Well, let me give you a chance to show some additional pride, Troy, because correct me if I'm wrong, but Jeremy and Dalton both had the same father, and they were both exposed to the same training, mentorship, guidance, and upbringing, yet they've both chosen to walk a different path. So touch briefly on Dalton for a second.
Well, you know, that is true, and sometimes that's what happens. People will see other people's lives. They'll see the experiences they go through. They see the manipulation, and they realize, I can either be a taker or a giver. And if I'm a giver, it may be a long time before I end up getting back everything that I want. But in the process, you make so many friends and you change so many people's lives that when you hit the bottom and you're going through something in your own life, there's always somebody that you can turn to who will say, hey, let me give you a hand up. Let me help you out because you helped me. And guys, that's really the essence of what this is about. That's the essence of leadership, you know, is to be able to give back to others. I remember a network marketing leader one day told me, you shouldn't use the word servant because you shouldn't be a servant. And I said, you know, since you had to say that, you really don't understand the concept of servant leadership, because servant leadership is what Dalton has learned, and at 19 years old, probably has more influence in this one small town than any of the rich, successful businessmen, because when he calls on somebody for help, they know without a shadow of a doubt that he needs their help to help somebody else and to change somebody else's life. So thanks for bringing that up, Jimmy.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing there, and I know what it's like when you have kids that you've exposed the same level of training and mentorship to, and I know we're running short on time, so I'm going to go through here real quick what it says in the back of the chapter here on applying the process, the law of the process, to your life. Number one, what's your personal plan for growth? If you're like I was when Kirk Kempler asked me this question, you have a vague intention to grow, not a specific plan. Write out a plan first and foremost, because if you're not taking the time to map it out, then you're wasting time. I recommend that you read a book a month, listen to at least one CD, tape, or streaming message a week, and attend one conference a year, select the materials in advance, set aside time for growth on your calendar, and start immediately. If developing a plan from scratch seems difficult, you may want to read the book Today Matters. It contains a personal growth plan that John Maxwell used himself for years. Folks, we're running out of time, and I don't want to get into the rest of it. I didn't realize that this show was going to be as in-depth as it was today, but it truly is what developing as a leader is all about. Now, and before we say goodbye today, I know we're not streaming live at this point, but this can be listened to on the archives. Mark, I know you're listening in, and I appreciate the fact you have the age and the wisdom to offer your insights as a parent, as a grandparent, and everything. Now, anything you would like to add before we sign off for the day?
Well, thanks for that. And I would just like to say that every time you're given an opportunity to teach, it's not something that's taken away from you. It's not time out of your life. It is time to pass down, to create new learning. The term discipline has its roots in disciple. So if you know the correct way, you want to teach people the correct way so that they can have the discipline to succeed. And Jim, Troy, every time I have been asked to train on a topic in this industry, I'll just affirm what you've said, Jim. I'm the one who learns the most.
Yes.
Because like any good teacher, I have to be ahead of the students. I have to anticipate what they're going to ask, so my depth of knowledge has to be that much greater. You all have the ability to choose success. You just have to choose it.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate everybody listening in with us this morning, and this is definitely one of the shows that I would recommend that anyone who's new to the industry listens in on. Troy, take us out for the day, my friend.
Folks, tomorrow is not only Feedback Friday with this new format, which is going to be dynamic, but it's also going to be Aces Radio Live. We're going to have Mark Weezer, Mark is one of those silent leaders who goes out and he's built his career by doing it, not talking about it, and has been one of the most proficient personal sponsors in every company that he's been in, bringing in 25 to 30 personally sponsored team members each and every month. You're not going to want to miss that show. You don't want to miss tomorrow morning's Feedback Friday. Have a fantastic day. We look forward to seeing you in the morning. Bye now.
God bless you, everybody. Have a great day.